Happy Easter to you all this morning. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the scripture reading, which is in Luke 24, as Luke records for us the events of that first Easter Sunday morning. There are not very many of us here, but there were even fewer of them made it to the tomb first thing on that Easter Sunday morning. But it didn't stop God doing what he planned to do. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleam like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day's almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. May the Lord cause our hearts also to burn within us as we consider these scriptures this morning. They reply, "He was a prophet," and then they go on pouring out their hearts to him. Jesus went with them. He drew alongside them and went with them. The next thing that he did was he listened to them. Did he need them to tell him these things? Did they tell him anything he didn't know? He knew far more than they knew. But he listened. He asked them questions. He drew them out. I suggest to you that a lesson from this is that Jesus also wants to listen to us. Yes, he knows far more than we know. But he cares about us. And that care is expressed in a desire for us to share with him. We encounter the risen Lord as we pour out our hearts to him, as we share with him our woes and worries, our heartaches, our hopes, our fears, our disappointments. He wants to know them. That's still the same today as it was then. You and me, ordinary disciples, just like these disciples here. Discouraged perhaps, disheartened, perhaps heading in the wrong direction, walking away from where it's all happening. But Jesus wants to go with us. He wants to know. He wants us to tell him, not because he doesn't know, but because he wants to share our lives. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus listens to them, but then lastly, he opens the scripture to them. Verse 25, he said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." How instructive this is. Jesus didn't, even at that point, having listened to them, and he didn't stop and say, "Look, guys, it's me. I'm alive. I rose from the dead. Look." Supposing he had, at that point, said that. Supposing he hadn't opened the scriptures to them and hadn't explained to them and revealed himself in the scriptures. Supposing he just appeared to them then and opened their eyes at that point and they'd seen him. And then he'd gone. It would have been a wonderful experience for sure. They would have gone on telling it over the years. You know, we were walking to Emmaus and Jesus appeared to us. And then the children would say, "So what was he like, Daddy?" "Well, he was, I can't quite remember now. It's all a long time ago, you know. And these things fade with time." But instead, Jesus opened the scriptures to them. He explained himself, he introduced himself to them through the scriptures. And in years to come, I imagine these men, as they talk, perhaps with their children, "Daddy, so what did Jesus say again?" "Well, Jesus turned to that passage in Isaiah 53. Let's look at it together, shall we?" And they look at Isaiah 53, and Jesus explained that this was talking about him. "Oh, and Daddy, did Jesus point out that? Did he mention this verse here?" Or, "No, son, he didn't mention that, but that's true. I'm sure that's speaking of him." Because as Jesus opened the scriptures to them, he gave them a means of going on learning, going on growing, not a fading vision, the memory of which dimmed with time, but an ongoing, living, dynamic interaction with the life-giving Word of God, revealing Jesus to them. And, my brothers and sisters, we have the same scriptures. Although we might not see Jesus, Jesus still opens the scriptures to us as we give time to them, as we meditate on them, as we share our hearts and our lives with him, and as we ask him to, and we allow him to, and we meditate on the truth, he reveals himself to us. And we don't have to go back 2,000 years ago and walk along the road to Emmaus for our hearts to burn within us. We have only to get some quiet today, or tomorrow, or any day this week, or next week, or the week after. We have only to draw aside and remember the presence of the risen Lord Jesus with us, though we don't see him, though our eyes are kept from recognizing him. We have only to pour out our hearts to him and know that he listens with great interest and care and love. And we have only to meditate in his word and ask him and allow him to open to us, to explain to us in the scriptures the things concerning himself. And it can be true for us as it was for them. As we urge him to stay with us. And he opens our eyes to see who he is. And as our hearts burn within us, as he reveals himself to us through the scriptures, we too can get up and return and go back and get on with what God calls us to do in life. And we can bear our own evidence and witness to the resurrection. It's true. The Lord has risen. We can be among those whose changed lives make it clear that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. Jesus cares about individuals. That's one of the great lessons of the resurrection. In the midst of all that was going on, Jesus was not basking in glory and power, but he was acting in love and care for those who loved him and cared about him. And he's still doing that. Let's allow him on this Easter Sunday to reveal himself to us. Let's recognize that he's walking with us. And that he wants us to pour out our hearts to him. And he wants to reveal himself to us through the scriptures. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your resurrection. We thank you for all that you went through for us. And we thank you that on that resurrection morning, you were not basking in the power that your resurrection revealed. You were not trying to get revenge on Pilate or Herod or the soldiers or the chief priests. You were not trying to impress the crowds. But you were reaching out, one by one and two by two, to people who loved you, who cared, who were hurt and struggling. You were going with them and listening to them and revealing yourself to them. Please do that for us too, Lord Jesus. And may our changed lives be evidence, mighty evidence, to our friends and loved ones of the truth of your resurrection. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.